You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
I'm not sure how it's going to play out. I know it's going to be a very competitive training camp and offseason. And I know that at the end of the day, whatever best five come out of that are going to be the guys that are going to start for us. But as you know, trust me, as we know around here for the last 3 years, we've been going through a lot of different rotations and a lot of different people. So to have guys that are going to be reliable and dependable as things happen throughout the season is a good place. We want that depth. I think now those guys have really good role models and vets ahead of them to learn how to play this game at a high level.
So have they called you yet?
Nobody calls me, man.
But apparently that's not the case. I believe Olin is on an episode of 1920 Football Drive.
No!
Am I right, Tanny? Because I know that you love that.
That's
series.
Correct. Well, yeah, it's down the dial now, you know, so they called him at least. Big Jeff and Big Tom called him.
Oh, okay.
You know?
So 1920 Football Drive, production of the Bears.
Yes, it is a Bears production. So in that regard, yes, like the Bears have contacted Olin Cruz, which makes me happy.
It makes me happy, too, because if you have someone like that available,
sure,
who is willing to give you information,
uh-huh,
you should talk to that person.
I agree, but so what do you think? Did he work an hour for them to do that episode? Maybe they gave him $15, you know?
This is what I mean. Like
what?
Adjust for inflation at least.
1880.
We're going to ruin his chances of getting a call back.
That's
aren't
why,
we?
This is, see, Alex, you get me. What? This is the thing where
what?
It's like,
come on,
this
Lawrence.
Is Speaks jumping out the boat again.
Come
just jumping out.
Come with me into the boat.
No, especially not against that guy.
It's not against that guy.
He's like my favorite.
It's against that team.
It's against that team. I'm going after. See, that's the thing. Sometimes
they offer me $15 an hour to come in there as like an independent contractor. That is exactly what they did.
I am insulted on Olin's behalf for how the Bears treated him. And good. I am out here.
You're outraged.
I am outraged, and I'm fighting the good fight with one snarky joke at a time.
All right. Anyway, that's our guy.
Anyway, so there's this whole philosophy about offensive line in terms of, what are the offensive linemen thinking about? Are they lunging out and attacking and grabbing their man or pushing their man to dictate momentum and dictate what the offense is trying to do? Or are they backpedaling and waiting to kind of receive the attack and the momentum from the defensive line?
And it depends on what the play call is. It depends on what your strategy is against a specific pass rusher. Like if there's a guy who will run himself out of the play, maybe you don't have to engage him. You can escort him.
Yep.
You make him run the bubble and escort him out of the play. But I immediately thought of Olin when we were going over the Ben Johnson stuff. And for those of you, it may have slipped past some people, to tell you the truth, because most of the time we're not, especially this time of year, because it's not guys in pads. It's there's no real contact that's going on.
But there's concepts being discussed.
Philosophy of what you want things to be. So you turn your, whether you're listening on the Odyssey app or you're in your car, turn it up a little bit and you let us know what you hear when you hear Ben Johnson talking about the philosophy that he wants at the tackle position and the offensive line overall.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. Hard to jump to any conclusions just yet, especially at that position where you really can't be judged until you got pads on. And so both guys are taking turns and they're making the most of their opportunities. I think the head's still spinning for almost everybody on offense, but certainly in the O-line room. We got a lot of new things we're throwing at them. Coach Roshar and Coach Devan and Coach Cable, they're doing fantastic jobs, coached them up, and they're on them constantly throughout practice. So the cool thing to see is Ozzy for a guy that's a young player, he's really polished in terms of the mental aspect of the game. We're looking to key up some things, quicken up his steps, his identification process, and Karan's done a nice job just for the little bit that we had him as well, just the growth prospect. So far, so good.
Is there something specific that you're looking for to say for a guy that he's taken a hold of this job? This is now his job, and it's somebody else's to try.
I always go back. To me, the number one job of an offensive tackle, doesn't matter right or left, is to pass protect. And so you need to be able to block their best pass rusher one-on-one. And that's, to me, that's the number one job. And everything we can get out of them in the run game will be gravy on top of it. But we got to find out who the best pass protector is, the most consistent pass protector is. And really, that's for all five guys up front.
I know things can change over the course of the next couple of months with the offensive line. But what does it feel like for you having, seems like, four other spots effectively solidified and just being able to zero in on that left tackle spot?
Yeah, we feel good about the rest of them gelling together. And that's really what it comes down to, is they have to spend time as a unit over and over and over again. And game one, we're going to be far from a finished product. And hopefully by the time we get through the bye week, we'll start seeing some of these guys come together and really gel as a unit. I think as a whole, because it's a new offense and it's a lot of new, it doesn't matter if you're Joe Tooney and you've been playing for 10 plus years or you're one of these young people that we're talking about, we have to coach them all the same right now. So it's not like we can just concentrate on one spot and that battle. It's really the whole unit and the depth behind it as well. We've talked about, I think, consistently through the springtime, 8, 9, even 10 linemen are going to be called upon at some point this year.
So that was Ben Johnson talking about the tackle position, because he was asked about whether it's Karan Amagaji or Ozzy Trapillo that kind of has a leg up. And it's hard to know because they're not really doing anything but walking through some of this stuff. And you need usually the linemen to make a real assessment. And even that assessment can be wrong in training camp, is that it's live for them. This isn't that in mini camp. But the thing that stood out to me, and I'll leave it to you, Speed. Did anything stand out?
Well, I actually feel better about it in context than I do as a poll quote. Like, listening to it here and thinking about what he said about the tackle, the number one job for the tackle is to be able to block their best pass rusher. And everything else is gravy. The everything else is gravy part's a little scary.
Everything else is gravy. That scares me.
The number one job of an offensive tackle, doesn't matter right or left, is to pass protect. And so you need to be able to block their best pass rusher one-on-one. That's the number one job. And everything we can get out of them in the run game will be gravy.
So here's why it doesn't freak me out in context. Because we know he likes to run the ball and is really good at running the ball. So know that. It's not like this is a guy that just gives lip service to running the ball like so many offensive coordinators we've seen in the past. He's a guy, they've done it, and he has done it and seems to love it. And this is all about him setting up for what they can do and what they can't do. If either offensive tackle is clearly a guy that can't block your best pass rusher, that exposes you tremendously to the defense and limits you, Lawrence. That's exactly it. If they know that you have to give help on either side, then you're not going to be able to scheme all the creativity and the different looks and the confusion you are trying to scheme. You have to be confident that you can block their best pass rusher one-on-one with either tackle. And they need to think you are confident that you can do that in order for you to then use your one tight end or your two tight ends, your move guys, and to create all your things. So he's got to make sure that both of his guys give him the confidence to be able to block the best pass rusher, or else he's not going to be able to run the offense he wants to run.
I think that your argument is completely logical. And I get that his offense, if you look at it, there's been a good balance, and I'm using air quotes for those that can't see me on Twitch. They run the ball, and their pass game is predicated on the fact that they run the ball because they use so much play action.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of jarring.
For sure jarring. For sure jarring. And maybe you disagree or maybe others disagree, and feel free to text us. But like, now that I hear it and think about it in context, it makes sense to me. And then there's the difference between the tackle and the guards and the center. And our guy Olin, as a center, you know, he always says the further away you are from the football, the further away you get
from football.
Which is hilarious. But, you know, those tackles, man, being exposed on the outside, like that's got to be, you got to be able to do that. And then you add running game to it. I understand it in terms of the schematics of what an offensive mind has to think about.
What is interesting to me, because in hearing him say that, I kept thinking about what we saw from Amagaji last year. And it really makes sense in that context, where I do think that in space and in the run game, Karan Amagaji's fine. Like, there's even moments, even inside that Vikings game, where I was like, oh, I see what they saw on the tape. But all of that was in the run game.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of it was in the pass protection aspect of it.
You're right.
So if you really then look at it and you go, if he were an A pass blocker and a C or C minus run blocker, wouldn't you take that? And the answer is yes. Or if you're saying, yeah, he can, if you ask almost any of these guys that make it to this level about their run blocking skills, or them in space. Of course, a guy who's 6'5" and 360 pounds running out there can be a menace in the open field. But can you be a menace when there's a guy who's lined up on your head whose whole job is to destroy your quarterback?
Exactly. And Amagaji obviously trying to pass protect in Minnesota against a really creative defense with some beasts on the edge. On the road, you know, in a primetime game was a difficult ask. But I think it's about the multiplicity and the desire for him to make the same things look different and make different things look the same. I may be paraphrasing exactly how he says it, but you remember what I'm saying. But like, we know that the tight end is so important. And two tight ends is so important.
Well, we heard Cole talking about the 12 personnel as a grouping that they want to be strong.
And I was told flat out after the draft, you know, when your guy Colston Loveland went instead of my guy Tyler Warren, that
I think they're both going to be good.
I think so too. But the point is, Colston Loveland, to what you had said before the draft, Ben Johnson can't run his offense without a tight end like that. He needs a tight end like that to run his offense. And you're going to see him move all around, be on one side, be on the other side, be in the slot, maybe be out wide every once in a while. You're going to see him used all over the place. And they need to be able to know and have the defenses know that he doesn't have to be chip help or max protect. He doesn't have to be one of those guys next to either one of these tackles, that both of those tackles are capable.
Yes, Alex?
No, I'm glad you brought up the Amagaji thing, because I was going to ask you, does that quote make you think that Ozzie Trapillo has passed up Karan Amagaji?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Like, far and away at this point.
I think there's a lot of things that go in it. And one of them is one thing about the NFL that I don't like. My guy, your guy thing. Like, he didn't draft Karan Amagaji. He owes him nothing. They clearly looked at the tape of Ozzie Trapillo and were like, hey, that's the type of guy that I want. Whether it's on this side or it's on this side, I want that type of guy. And so it becomes a major uphill battle for Karan Amagaji to impress. And maybe the battle for Amagaji isn't against Trapillo. Maybe it's Amagaji versus a hurt Braxton Jones. Like, I don't know. But
I think it's Amagaji against the practice squad, you know? And I think it's Braxton.
I actually think that would be a really good place for someone like
him. I think that'd be fine. And you might be able to get him there you might not have trouble getting him
but
there.
But having a third rounder end up on your practice squad, and we've seen this movie before with Ryan Pohl's picks.
I think this ends up Trapillo versus Braxton Jones for a starting tackle spot. And the other is the swing if Braxton ends up healthy. Now, yeah, whether it's the left-right switch, I don't know. I doubt it. You think it's still on the table.
I still think that it's possible that Darnell could find his way over to the left side. But that's stuff that we won't know for a long time.
What we know now is what you and Alex just kind of happened upon. Yeah, I think Ozzie's passed over Amagaji. And frankly, it's a better pedigree. It's not just a my guy and your guy. Like Amagaji had to scuffle for any field time he could get. And when he did get it, it was brutal.
Yeah. And with Amagaji, you are still talking about a guy who played in, and this is no disrespect to FCS, but a lower level of football. And then I also don't think that they did a great job of bringing him along. Like I feel like if he were a quarterback, we would really be talking about how unfair it was. But I think that what they asked Amagaji to do, who didn't have any time in training camp because he was hurt, and then when he got healthy, they were like, you know what? Go on out there. Mm-hmm. Great, I get an opportunity to play. Who are we playing? The Vikings in Minnesota. What? So we're going to get the crazy blitz guy?
Yeah.
Like, that's my first on the road?
Yeah, wasn't his first game action the Washington game in the middle of an island game on the road coming in for, I think it was injured Braxton at the time?
Yeah.
Like, wasn't that his first game action?
Yeah.
It was in his first start against Jonathan Grenard.
We should do a top five
with no help.
The most unfair asks of Bears players in our lifetimes. Like, you know, Justin Fields on the road in Cleveland against Clowney and Miles Garrett.
But I'm sure, like, if we had Olin, he would say, like, oh, this it's the NFL. You know, there's no, like, easy way to bring someone in, right?
Yes. Yeah, but you definitely don't want to bring someone in who didn't have a training camp. And then you're out there saying, yeah, the guy that does all the exotic stuff,
yeah,
he's going to be throwing all of it at you. And we all saw it. Every Bears fan that was tuning in for that game was like, hey, are they going to put a tight end over there?
Mm-hmm.
No, that seems stupid. Quarterback sacked.
I think I think Alexander Canario's first major league at bat was against Camilo Doval of the Giants in the late innings after having sat on the bench for like 4 days.
Now that's really unfair because I haven't heard of any of those people.
Are you saying that my particular brain went to deep baseball stuff in the middle of a heated Bears conversation?
Yeah, but did he come in the middle of like a 2-2 count or something?
And Jadeveon Clowney sacked him right there. He was in the batter's box and Clowney came out of nowhere.
I got to tell you, a couple days ago, I'm sitting at home and Police Squad is on. Oh, Naked Gun is on.
It's the best.
And I'm just
Naked Gun or Police
Naked Gun.
Gotcha.
And I'm laughing at stuff that I've seen time and time again, and it's still funny when they go through the row of broadcasters, and it's all best of our favorite broadcasters.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kurt Gowdy, along with Jim Palmer, Tim McCarver, Dick Vitale, Mel Allen, Dick Emberg, and Dr. Joyce Brothers.
So I'm laughing at all of that. And then they do the video of the wacky plays.
Oh, the wacky plays.
Like any movie, any time, any place, like any scene, jumping in to the baseball scene of Naked Gun is as good as it gets in cinema, period.
Yeah. And I'm literally, as I'm going to the garage, just yelling, that's not an umpire, that's Enrico Palazzo.
Right, and then doesn't the shortstop's going back to try and catch a pop-up, and there's a tiger there?
Yeah, there's a guy who loses his head at the wall. A guy gets hit by a car.
A guy gets hit by the car.
And that's when you said that's immediately what I started thinking of. The guy getting hit by the car is like Jadeveon Clowney showing up at a baseball game.
See, and what I thought of was basketball, which actually is a brilliant sport that the South Park guys invented for that movie. Like the collision of baseball and basketball is brilliantly done. And that has another crazy announcers scene.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That has Al Michaels and Bob Costas doing the basketball championship game. And there's
you're excited. Feel these nipples.
Oh, there is a moment. I got to ask.
Oh, that's good from Gridiron. Des Clark having the long snap.
That's right. Exactly. That's on the list of unfair asks in our Bears lifetime.
All right, let's do some baseball. Brian Bannister knows pitching. He's going to talk pitching with us. Huh, next on The Score. Come on.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I just actually relate to the White Sox. You know, my dad pitched for them from 83 through 87. I think back to my childhood, and it was Chicago. It was catching lightning bugs, going to Comiskey, and it had the yellow paint on all the railings, and I used to sit there as a kid and pick the paint, and I probably ate too much of it. It was the organ. It was the mascots.
Floyd Bannister. Bannister, of course, since the All-Star break, is 4-0. So that left-hander starting to come alive. Here's the 3-2 pitch. Struck him out, and he got it in a good spot.
And now Vernon Wells not happy with the strike zone, but Brian Bannister is thrilled. Bannister has retired 13 of the last 14.
I think he brings a lot to the table. I think he's got a lot to offer as far as pitch design.
I talked with a lot of different people who extol his virtues and say that, you know, he's one of the best guys around. And I think there's great reviews on Brian.
He's been awesome. He pretty much has revolutionized some of the pitchers in our game, especially the guys that sink the ball, the seam shift. I joke, I call him the seam shift god.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
That was Eric Fetty who called him that. We like to call him the director of pitching for the White Sox. And he's nice enough to join us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Brian, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. You have in front of you two people who are huge fans of what's gone on with Shane Smith this season. How have you guys gotten him to this place that he's in right now?
Good to be here. You know, Shane is an extremely talented pitcher. It's a great story being undrafted, going through some injury stuff. We just really liked how his fastball performed at AA and AAA last year for the Brewers. And, you know, there were some other interesting ingredients there where he added the changeup, kind of refined it with the seam shift stuff. And he's gone out there and pitched like an all-star, in my opinion. And it's been fun to watch him way outperform compared to your typical Rule 5 pick. But he's a classy guy. He's worked hard. He's come in prepared. And just exciting to watch him every time out, especially what he just did against the Tigers.
Was on my list. What did you identify in Shane Smith? You said how the fastball was performed and then a couple different ingredients. That's a little vague. Come on, what was it? What'd you see? Everybody's wondering what you saw, Bannister and Shane Smith.
You know, it was a group effort. I'll give credit to the whole R&D group, which keeps getting better every day, the stuff we've been doing behind the scenes. But what's interesting is his fastball doesn't ride. You talk about vertical movement or you talk about hop or ride. His fastball doesn't do that. It actually has randomness to it. Sometimes it cuts. Sometimes it backs up. He hides the ball really well. He gets really big extension, similar to a Grant Taylor. So there's just a lot of unique ingredients with his fastball that I think gives hitters fits. And then he can also spin it really well. And he's added that late nasty changeup. And it's become a complete package. And he's electric every time out.
Brian, when it comes to discussing things with pitchers, what's the process for you to figure out how much information you can give them in whatever form it is? Like, some guys clearly want to talk about what happens statistically. Some guys want to talk feel. Some people want to talk finger pressure. Like, how do you go about figuring out what type of learner you have inside of the pitching infrastructure?
I think we try to identify what their strengths are, because there's a lot of ways to get hitters out, but too much information can almost work against the pitcher. And so we try to bucket it down to, here's what you are, here's what we think you can do really, really well. And we try to give them a lot of information vertically, like in a very narrow space. If you sink the ball, we're going to teach you a lot about sinkers. If you spin the ball really well, we're going to teach you a lot about breaking balls. But we're not going to say everything about everything, because that can just be information overload. And we don't want them thinking too much out there, but we want them being really good at what they do well.
Was there ever a point in your career where that was something that, because you clearly are a pitching geek, and I say that with love, but was there ever a point when you were pitching where you're like, man, I'm not getting what I need how I need it?
A lot of my career, because when I pitched my first full season with the Royals in 2007, that was the year that PitchFX Sport Vision first came out, and that was the first year we had information on pitching. And I made a lot of mistakes, along with my teammate Zach Greinke, trying to figure some of this stuff out, because there was no handbook on how to use it all. So a lot of my career was actually me stumbling upon good things and also making mistakes on how to use this information. But through that process, I was able to extract a lot of good principles and pass it along to these pitchers who I joke are way better than I was, and save them the trouble and the hassle of making the same mistakes that I did, and just make their career more streamlined and easier, and get them to their ceiling performance-wise as fast as possible.
Oh, man, Zach Greinke. Now, there's a smart guy and a curious guy, and that's what I've heard, you know, asking somebody who knows you, Brian, like, well, hey, what do you love about Brian Bannister? The person said his curiosity, is curious about everything. I love that, because the whole pitching universe is insane. Like, people don't know how to keep arms healthy, and it's the most expensive and most valuable thing in the sport, and yet we can't do it. So you must have a passion and a curiosity for what you do. It's not like you know everything. You're still trying to learn everything, aren't you?
Yeah, and we use, you know, we steal it from the software world. We iterate through things. We don't claim to know it all, but we'll take a pitcher and we'll try something for a couple of pitches, and we'll see if it's better than what he was doing before. If it's worse, we move on right away. If it's better, we stick with it and keep experimenting with it. But we've had so many pitchers now. There's so much data out there. There's hundreds of millions of pitches that have been captured over the last two decades. So we can really leverage that information and help guys make better decisions faster. But at the same time, we want those happy, fortunate accidents to happen, similar to a Shane Smith changeup, where all of a sudden it just takes off and it becomes one of the better pitches in the sport. We always want those fun accidents to happen, because we don't want to just bottleneck these guys. With what we've done in the past, we always want to let them offer up something new, because their anatomy, their pitching style, the way their hand grips the ball, sometimes there's always unique combinations, and we want to allow that to happen organically.
Brian Bannister is the director of pitching for the Chicago White Sox, and he's on the Spiegel and Holmes show here on The Score. We did some reporting about the R&D department that you referenced earlier in the interview. As a highly expanded, you know, analytics realm, now rebranded R&D. Can you tell us about how that department is helping, and if it's integrated into pitching and hitting and minors and majors? Tell us how that's working, because that can be a difficult thing to ramp up inside an organization.
Yes, and just being with my two previous organizations, I had the opportunity to kind of do an A-B test. So here's what I had before, here's where we're at, and kind of just use those experiences to share with the very talented analysts that we had, Chris Getz, Josh Barfield. So kind of the advantage of coming in from another organization or having been in multiple places is you can just share, this is what we had, or this is what we were working on, and able to upgrade workflows and processes. But really, when you came in, we were behind just objectively. We had the talent. It wasn't organized very well, and we have completely done a 180 in that department. And the biggest areas that as an organization we've gotten better at is both our R&D department and what we're doing in Latin America. And so being able to take these talented analysts, organize the data right, clean up the data, build good reports for the coaches, build good systems that make our decisions happen quicker, and then take somebody like myself or Ryan Fuller on the hitting side, my counterpart on the hitting side, and be able to just have great discussions with the coaches, the minor league players, and just kind of build organization-wide systems and processes that make us better and help us make decisions faster that are more accurate.
Are you confident that when a Noah Schultz or a Hagen Smith hits the big leagues, they'll be coached the same way with the same kind of information, delivered the same style that you learned that they best succeed with? Are you comfortable that that consistency will be there?
That's actually the primary goal of what I try to build on the pitching culture side, is I want to empower all the coaches. I want us to use our own internal lingo, our own terminology on what we believe, and be confident in that, to collaborate and talk about all those concepts every single day. And whether you have Matt Zaleski, our pitching coordinator, or Kurt Hassler, who's been our bullpen coach at the major league level, Ethan Katz, who I worked alongside with in San Francisco at the major league level, it doesn't matter who is interfacing with one of the pitchers. We're speaking the same language. We're using accurate data, objective data, but really we're just tailoring it to what they do, how they need to move. And we've grown by leaps and bounds in the last 2 years, and it's one of the things I'm most excited about. We have, you know, one of, if not the cheapest and youngest pitching staffs in Major League Baseball, but these guys keep coming up and contributing. There's upside surprises. That's always one of my metrics for are you operating well as a player development department, is do players surprise to the upside? You have industry consensus evaluations, and do players consistently outperform those expectations? That's when you know you're doing it right. when the players are getting the most out of their ability or even stumbling upon something new that takes them to another level. And that's what's fun. And I think that's when people are enjoying their jobs and looking forward to coming to the ballpark every day because they know they might get better, but they know they're always going to have open, transparent communication. And that's when you start winning ball games and things start trending to the upside.
What's your approach when it comes to whether or not a pitcher needs to just drill down on the things that they do really well versus experimenting? Like maybe it's a guy with two pitches and you're saying, you know, they could use a changeup or a slider and here's how we can form that pitch up for them. How do you decide on this is what this guy is and that's what he needs to stick to versus he could be even better if he experiments?
I spend just as much of my time helping pitchers understand their strengths or developing something new as I do taking things away and telling them not to do anything more. Just be really, really good at what you're doing right now. Practice those mechanics. Practice that repeatability and that command. Just be more confident throwing it in any count. A lot of times pitchers always want to add something new, and our goal is to give them an arsenal that will compete and be functional at the major league level. But then beyond that, we just want them to repeat and be as consistent as possible. There is a point where you just keep tinkering too much. And so we spend just as much of our time taking things away from pitchers or telling them, don't keep tinkering. Don't keep trying something new. Just be happy with where you're at and just be better at that. And so it's a balance between the two sides.
Brian, there's an opportunity when the runway's kind of long, when you're a few years away as an organization and the big bus needs to take a big turn, you know? And I'm wondering if you take advantage of that. The pause for Colson Montgomery on the hitting side to go to swing school in Arizona and then go back, and that has had some good effects. And then I saw the pause for biomechanical work for, who was it, Iriarte and Hagen Smith? Is that right? I think it was those two. It was that seemed like a novel concept. Do you guys take advantage? Are you taking advantage of the long runway with some creativity? It's what it seems like.
Yes, we do have new resources. You know, Chris and Jerry have given us really helpful tech. But the big thing is we just want these pitchers to pitch in the style that's best for them. One of the nice things, and I just spent the week with Hagen, we had access to a new lab. He had a great coach in Matt Hobbs at University of Arkansas. They were capturing a lot of data on him when he was at his best, being the National Pitcher of the Year in college. And so we were able to go back and compare some of the things he was doing with Matt Hobbs and get him back to his best. You know, he has no problem striking people out, but the way he was using his legs, the walk rate was a little higher, and we just identified some things. And we're able to jump in there, compare the data from 2 years ago to now, and clean some stuff up and even make some improvements on top of that. And it was a great week with Hagen. Same with Iriarte. He was getting a little long with his arm stroke, leading some walks. His pitch shapes were off a little bit. We're able to tighten up his arm stroke, get him back to what he was in 2023 with the Padres, the stuff he liked to do then and the stuff that we saw on the scouting side that we were impressed by. And so, just because the minor league season, kind of that archetype was set up many, many decades ago, doesn't mean that's actually the best way to develop players. If we have the opportunity to use some of our new resources to make these guys better or to identify upgrades or changes quicker, we're going to be a little more proactive. And the agents have been great. The players are on board. It's like, let's get you back to your best so that you can go out and compete at the best version of you. Instead of just kind of doing the every 5 day routine, but struggling a little bit or feeling like something's off, let's just leverage all our resources and get you back out there and get you in the big league sooner rather than later.
White Sox director of pitching Brian Bannister joining us here for a few minutes on Spiegel and Holmes. Let me go to the darker side of that. What are the guardrails that are in place for the psychology of pitchers in a long runway? There might be a lot of people that are inside the White Sox organization that are looking at it and saying, man, you know, the process, it sounds and it looks great. And I might be getting these individual results that are going on, but the team is not getting the results. And we are dealing with human beings. How do you keep the pitchers on task even when the win-loss results at the major league level haven't been there?
You know, the starting rotation has done great. We've admittedly been behind. We have a young bullpen and an experienced bullpen. You look at our run differential, the way we've pitched compared to last year, and last year, you know, we obviously bottomed out from a win-loss perspective. But the goal is to keep trending where we're pitching better, we're hitting better. There's positive developments in all these young players. And we will continue to fill out the roles, particularly in the bullpen, via internal promotions and external acquisitions. So if you look at how we've played this year, we've drastically outperformed 2024, but we haven't been able to close out as many games. We don't have an obvious closer, an obvious eighth inning guy, but we also have identified players both internally, externally, that we'd love to fill those roles as we continue to bring all these players to the surface at the major league level. So when the Hagen Smiths, when the Noah Schultz, the Grant Taylors, the Brayden Montgomerys, the Colson Montgomerys, the Bonhamers, the Teals, as all these players start to float to the surface in the next year, it's going to be really fun from a fan perspective to see these talented young players all play together. And it'll also give us, because of our preparation, the way we're making decisions now as a front office, being able to fill in the gaps with players from the outside that'll complement these young players. And so you're going to see a continued trend to the upside as they become our new core and we're able to fill in the gaps externally.
You mentioned Grant Taylor. A lot of people surprised to see him pegged for the bullpen as opposed to starting pitcher where there's more innings. What's the thought?
You know, there's a lot of thought that goes into these decisions. I've seen the obvious reactions from the fan base, social media, the media, and they're all valid. You know, the interesting thing about Grant is when you look at how he pitches and his characteristics, he's very similar to a Tyler Glasnow. He's very similar to a Clase, to a Kenley Jansen, to I don't compare people to Mariano, but he has that kind of flexibility. Mariano is in his own category. But, you know, when you look at the guys in this category, how they're most effective, the types of injuries they tend to have, how they're used the best, you know, Grant releases the ball about 7.5 feet in front of the rubber. So he's out there releasing it where Kenley, Glasnow, all those guys release it. And you've seen the guys that have pitched in a starting role with those types of features. And they tend to be very injury prone. And we've already gone through that with Grant a little bit. So in the short term, we're looking out for his health, for how we can get him to the big leagues and contributing in the best way possible, but not pigeonholing him in a relief role, but also acknowledging that when you compare his pitch metrics, what he can do as a pitcher, it compares with some of the best closers in the world. So, you know, short term, he definitely has that kind of upside. And then people, you know, want to compare him to Skeens, et cetera, that have those types of velocities. We are totally open to him continuing to pitch in a starting role. But between managing his workload, dealing with his past injury history, and giving him maximum upside and maximum ability to contribute to the Chicago White Sox and have an outstanding major league career, we made that decision in the short term. And he's electric. You know, I've seen him up close a couple times. It's one of the best arms I've ever seen. And I don't say that lightly because I've been around a lot of good arms. So it's somebody the fans are going to enjoy watching. And we're just trying to do what's best for him.
Brian, before we let you go, obviously the Score has a lot of moms and dads that have young people who play baseball. Some of them are probably on their way to their field or their complex right now. For an amateur arm, what do you think are best practices and things that parents should be looking out for their athlete?
It's a great question, and I consult for a lot of families locally. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so a lot of families reach out on the same topic. And the thing I typically say is make sure you get 6 weeks of throwing in and progressively ramp up your arm before you get off a mound. Kids love to just jump up there and try and throw hard right away. The arm takes time to build up. So make sure, you know, you get some long toss in, that you take it easy. And then the big thing nowadays, just with all the travel ball, which wasn't a thing when I was even in high school,
now 25 years ago. Kids are playing year round, and honestly, they never give their arms a break. So if you zoom out a little bit, look at a bigger macro cycle, build in some downtime for your arm throughout a calendar year. There's pressure to be at every tournament, every event, every showcase, to always be stepping on the accelerator 100%. But back off, play a different sport, play some soccer, play some basketball, do something else, and you'll stay healthier long term. Arm injuries are a part of the sport, especially with what it takes to be a major league pitcher nowadays and just the increasing velocity across the game. You'll never get away from the risk of an arm injury, but you can do your best to prepare your son to just be healthy by making sure he's built up and then building in some downtime every calendar year.
Brian, I declare that the White Sox are turning a corner. What, about a week and a half ago? I'm getting some crap from some of the fans and some colleagues, to be honest. But you're a big part of the reason why. This was really, really informative and really, really great for Sox fans to hear. So thanks for doing it.
No, I appreciate it. Always glad to be here.
Brian Bannister, director of White Sox pitching. And you know what Brian Bannister sounds like? Hope.
I think that is true. I think that is true. That is not what White Sox brass interviews have sounded like for a long, long time.
He sounds like hope, and that's a wonderful thing. Back after this in the Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If somebody uses the rap soda on the high-speed camera more than us, I'd like to shake their hand.
The White Sox are far beyond that now, it seems like. And let me just say that, and I feel fairly confident speaking for not only the Spiegel and Holmes show, but the entire Score staff. Hey, White Sox, We want to do those type of interviews with your people.
Mm-hmm. It's happening occasionally. Miguel Vargas on Hit and Run a couple weeks ago.
Was great.
Chase Meidroth has been on Inside the Clubhouse. Shane Smith on Hit and Run. And I mean, Bannister should be out there as much as he's comfortable because he's great.
He's really great. He's so great that I'm worried.
What are you worried about? Somebody's going to scoop him up?
Someone's going to offer that man a general manager's job.
They speaks. Will. He'll be on the Craig Breslow track, the former Cubs director of pitching. But what he's doing right now in revamping your entire everything is incredibly valuable.
It is. Mark Grody has got a Bears hit. One word next on The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.